Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It's Saturday night in Duluth, Minnesota, a balmy day at 47. Don's already on the line and John will call in shortly. Don, I'll reel you in a second. So the Germanwings plane crashed this week, killing all 150 people on board, basically due to poor decision-making by Germanwings co-pilot Andreas Lubitz, who was a German national. He lived in Dusseldorf, Germany, and he was only 27 years old. He had ripped up a paper in his apartment that said that he was not fit for work. He was basically in denial. Perhaps he feared being on disability or out of a job or not being able to make ends meet again. But the fact of the matter is even if you're declared not able to work, like one expert said on CNN this week, a physical doctor, that most people who have depression, they turn on themselves. They do not turn on other people. So with that brief introduction, I'll bring in John and Don. Good evening, folks.
Hello there.
Good evening, Jane.
Hi, it's hard having radio hosts in different time zones because I thought Don was going to mix it up again, personally.
Oh, no.
Don,
no.
Do you have a comment?
Not this time. I'm on time.
Don is on time, and I thank you for calling in around an hour ago to confirm that. So, John, you might have missed part of the intro. We were talking about the Germanwings flight crash that killed Americans, Spaniards, French, and mainly German exchange students who had gone to Spain for 4 to 6 weeks to learn the Spanish language. Now just think, one person took 149 lives into their own hands. And I'm not so much devastated as baffled. Somebody had made a comment on Twitter, you know, when Muslims kill, even though it's delusional, there's a religious purpose. When crazy white people kill, like Columbine, Jonesboro, Arkansas, it seems like they just do it because they're mixed up. I don't want to start on that premise necessarily, but what is your feedback this week from this top news story?
Well, I'd like to give Don the first crack at it and kind of get his feelings on it. I have a couple conclusions I already had made before I even heard anything. And so far what I've heard confirms, you know, kind of my personal feelings just based on experience and based on life, how I've seen things over the years. And I thought I'd like to hear Don's thoughts first.
Sure, Don.
Oh, okay, Don. Yes, I've forgotten his name. I tried to remember.
Andreas Lubitz.
He lived with his mother. There were other articles in the house that showed that he had these ideas. But the word delusional, now that is kind of a subjective word. When you are in a Muslim or any faith that believes that death is worthy, death is salvation. That means that you don't necessarily have an introspection in your life that you want to destroy, but you also have that background, that brainwashing. I don't like to use the word brainwashing because that's their life. If anyone were to try to take any of our freedoms away from us, and they live in entire regions of the world, well, that's their principal belief. And not every Muslim, Islam, or heteric believes that you must die to achieve ultimate salvation, but there are sects that do believe it. And this gentleman very well could have been either one or a pseudo perpetrator.
I agree with what you said. My statement was rather random. I'm just saying that anytime someone kills someone for non-religious reasons, okay, The only thing people ever hear about is Islamic killings nowadays. Sometimes you hear about other strange things that happen. But
and
this
there
guy
are other
was
religions.
Couldn't this
Islam
guy just have jumped
that.
Off a bridge? Why did he have to take 149 people with him? John, you can go.
Because he could.
Well, a couple things. I would consider, first of all, this person, what I would call in my Johnny Reality 101, he's a level 4 killer. And by that, I mean, I think all of us, there's a few exceptions, but all of us have the potential. Now, most of us I would consider to be level 1 killers. And by that, I mean, you know, you have a terrible day at work, someone tries to start a fight with you, maybe you've been cut off on the road, and, you know, maybe this random thought goes through your mind like, man, if I had a button that could just, you know, make him go away, or if I had a gun, or I'd like to push him off a cliff or punch his face. Now, some of us don't have, you know, really violent thoughts, but I'm just talking about that random thought of just, it's not so much our willing to kill someone, it's more returning the energy of violence or of injustice or cruelty. You know, maybe you've been beat up in an alley or, you know, been just terribly humiliated and you just wanted to strike back. So I would call that kind of like level 1 killer. Level 2 is like, it's premeditated. You start thinking about it like, well, what if I had that person alone in a room? And what if I had a, you know, and what if, right? But then there's kind of the level 3, I call it, and that is the person who actually, they go out and they get a gun, they get a bat. They actually, I mean, seriously plan, like, you know, hey, this person is alone at such and such a time, and no one would ever know, and what if I put this in their drink? There's some people like that. Now, it's really rare, but there are. But then there's another level, level 4, and that is the person that really, you know, shows up with a gun, really is prepared. But I even take it to another level, and that is there's some people that will do that. But who really has the guts or the heart to really pull the trigger? Now, a lot of people plan this kind of stuff, but then they back out. They go, you know, I just can't do that. So it's
how about
a rare
level
person.
5? Level 5, you don't have a gun, but you have a 1,000-ton plane, and you just decide all of a sudden. You know what my thought was? What if this guy was really crazy and he crashed it into, like, Sorbonne, Paris, or France? I mean, at least he chose the mountains. He could have even taken down more people.
And kind of going with that thought is, you know, very few people have that wiring to really push the button, really stick a knife in someone, really throw someone off a cliff. But kind of what I'm saying is we all have that, or most of us have, that kind of level 1 thing of just, it, again, we're not out to kill the world, just someone, you know, cuts you off in the road and you're ready to go for it. So the first thing I like to establish is a little bit of understanding, like, hey, we all have that potential. You know, maybe you go home and someone's in bed with your wife, right? Maybe you show up at work and you find out that someone has totally set you up and you've lost your job because of it, that kind of stuff. But I think what's important to realize is when I heard this, I said, you know, the first thing in my mind was this person has no power, and they took ultimate power, ultimate control. Usually when people rape or kill, it's not a crime of sex or violence. It's a crime of empowerment. You're totally controlling other people's lives. So maybe at home, he didn't have any power. Maybe on his job, you know, he's getting, you know, reprimanded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
I think he had kind of a limited view of the world. I mean, he was a pilot probably by the age of 24, and, you know, he was accomplished, and yes, he had mental hang-ups, but he certainly wasn't, you know, a weak member of society. He wasn't a dishwasher in a kitchen, but the thing is it
exactly.
is empowering. Yeah, he didn't have a gun, he had a plane. You know, like,
right.
He literally had the ability to guide things, but he also had the ability to hurt people, like lock out the other guy. Go ahead, Don.
One of the statements that he said was to his girlfriend was just that everyone's going to know who I am. You know, he's going to make a statement. You, like, there's a need to say, No one's listening to me in my life. No one gives me the importance that I feel I'm due, and now I'm going to step it up here, and no one is going to be able to stop me, not even God, although God could. But God usually lets us 99.9%. He lets us have the cause and effect of our actions. That's what free will is all about, and that's exactly what he did. Your feelings, Don?
Well, I mean, that's all well and good in terms of the levels and degrees. But in that scenario, we all have the capability, because we want to feel not famed per se, but just have a claim. Yeah, and so we all have that desire. So that means that we would all be probably capable of level three. And, you know, in certain circumstances, go to the level four. If that is a synopsis that I understood those levels to be. But,
right.
You know, the guy did it, and it's something the world has to see. We lost three Americans, and that's the sad, day, and bless their families, but for the most part, there are consequences. There are collateral damages. And we're in a guerrilla warfare now that is global, and we're going to have to deal with that in a real sense, and not just delineation of degrees.
Well,
you guys, it's funny because I just want to mention two things. There were two opera singers from Europe. I think they were Germans. They had their baby on board, and the three Americans that Don just mentioned, one, her two roommates were on Anderson Cooper the other night, and they were talking about her. I guess she was a real nice girl from the Philadelphia area who was always kind and giving and cheered people up. And the price to be paid is, even before I read the article I wrote on Twitter a day ago, maybe they should have, like, one, you know how, like, Americans have federal agents on the plane now, one per plane? Well, they should have, like, a security guard in the plane, but then somebody suggested just one pilot or one, air flight attendant, always have two people in the cockpit.
Right.
I'm really dating myself by this, but in the show All in the Family, Archie Bunker, his character, it was a satire kind of comedy, but his solution was give everyone on the plane guns, and then whoever's a terrorist is outnumbered, 50 to 1. But it was just a joke. But I think going along with it, you're going to see more of this, and I don't know what the appropriate solution is. My suggestion is that it's okay to have information. It's okay to have news. But I think because of 24-hour news and the Internet, it's just over-sensationalized and pumped, because these companies need ratings, and that's money, that they're going to go into this over and over, what his favorite drink was, what pen he was using, what girlfriend, clothes she wears. And I mean, it's like this every little detail, every minute, and it's going forward. And the point is, out of 7 billion people, maybe, one out of a million is wired for this kind of attention, or they're messed up. And that person will react to it. Well, if you've got, 7 or 8 billion people or whatever, you can have a lot of acting out. So in a way, I kind of would favor a little bit of news blackout or quieting of the matter, where it's not overly gone over to.
Well, is your motive just to pamper?
Identify.
Is it just to diffuse the fact that he's getting less attention? Because my older sister made a point after we did that show last week on racism that there's no filter in the news anymore, and the sources come from all different places, whether it's a kid's phone video camera or what Don and I know as a stringer for the LA Times, where private parties contribute stories. So I don't think you're ever, in this day and age, you're not going to escape the overanalysis. But you're right, John, they're probably not going to come to any better conclusion whether they spend 50 airtime hours on it or 5. I mean, we just will never have all the answers.
Well, Paul in Philippians says, you know, whatever things are true, honest, pure, just, lovely, you know, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. So I think that's kind of a model of just, you think on good stuff, positive stuff, you're going to reap that. But here you've got the press, like I was driving over here and they had on sports, Shaquille O'Neal, they were talking about him, how he said he was, if he wished he hadn't gone to Los Angeles and played for the Lakers, he should have stayed in Orlando. And the commentator just started saying, that's just like spitting in the eyes of L.A. Laker fans. You know, he just put a loogie in your eye. How does that make you feel? He was just trying to get people so worked up over a guy who was, you know, played, you know, probably 10 years ago in this town. It's like, why are you trying to get people riled up?
You know, that's the result of holding a grudge because him and Kobe didn't get along.
Right. And, you know, the kind of the thing is, it's like, they went over that stuff 10 years ago, and he's not even playing, so why are, you know, people even calling in to get riled up about that, you know?
It's just like when Brett Favre played his last year with the Vikings, it was a major slap in the face to the Packers.
Right.
You know, we were the cardinal enemies of the Packers. It would be like Obama becoming a Republican, you know, just crazy stuff. So,
pretty much.
People like to see a fight. You know, we've all been in school, and you see a circle gather, and you're wondering what's going on. And it's like, oh, someone's fighting, and everyone's egging it on. And, you know, some people are going, come on, let's go with it. You have maybe a couple people out of the crowd that will walk in there and say, hey, let's break it up. Like, let's diffuse it. And I think that's kind of the issue here is people – you know, even like us, we need to step up and try to diffuse the anger. And, yes, every religion has their, you know, the radical groups that will try to kill and use violence to establish their goals. But if you look at, like, say, Christianity, what did Christ really promote in real life? He promoted forgiveness and love. He didn't promote violence or getting in an army and killing people. So when people start using their religion to justify violence. Now, I will say this about Islam.
Well, John, so what could have Andreas Lubitz done? What could have changed in Andreas Lubitz's life as a young 27-year-old to have prevented him from crashing that plane into the French Alps?
Nothing. He's in heaven now. He's in his own
heaven, my ass.
Heaven. He's in his own religious heaven. It's as simple as that.
I see where John's going with it, but really it doesn't solve the problem.
The problem is just starting. There's a disparity of wealth that the rest of the world is seeing right now. And they're coming to life in ways that they only know how from the people they learned it from, which is the American military industrial complex, pretty much. And
okay,
And probably no. He probably didn't have a call it a dog whisperer or call it a God whisperer. You know, we see Caesar Milan walk into a house, right, where this family's got this dog that's barking and attacking everyone, right, and then he walks in there and in 5 minutes. The dog is like, okay, I'm quietly following my master. And he shows them, the pack leaders, how to diffuse the dog, how to get it calmed down. And pretty soon it's like everyone's all happy. All the dog and, you know, the whole community is happy. So I think he probably along the way, he didn't run into some good, you know, good teacher, a mentor, a father, or whoever. And I'm not saying that's the total solution, but a lot of times there's a dysfunction in that chain. Didn't get someone to identify with a role model.
John, for the record, you brought the dog whisperer up the last 3 shows, so I think it must be something that really influenced you. I have one other point, and then you guys can make your points. This guy was German. As we know, Germans have excellent education. You can pick what you want, and the government pretty much finances your education. He was well-fed maybe not well loved, but he was in a first world country. He wasn't deprived of any type of material or human wealth. He wasn't struggling in the that sense. So why do people get so screwed up when they have everything?
Well, that's because you just made your point. When you have everything, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have that desire to struggle. You're striving for things. You lose your humanity. You use your humanness. John mentioned earlier, you desensitize, and so you don't have the capability of thought that other people have who maybe are less fortunate, who are using their minds creatively every day. And you lose concentration, focus. You lose a zest for life, and you have a desire for death because that's the last thing left. So for the most part, he was doing more or less what he had planned. He was doing what he was doing, and he did the right thing in his mind. And we have to remember that that's his mind.
John, although you're not a parent, how would you feel if your child, Don and John, because Don is a parent, my daughter died on an operating table for a heart transplant. How would either of you feel if your child died, let's say, because of cancer versus someone who just acted crazy?
For myself personally, we all suffer loss. Obviously a child is the ultimate thing because that's from yourself. It's from within you. But I've lost parents and close friends. And to me, it's if it's cancer, to me, it's almost not as painful in the sense of you don't have any control over that. It's almost like a destiny. But when someone who has the choice to end someone's life takes that action, I think there's a little bit more pain involved in that because it could have been avoided. You can't avoid cancer. You can't necessarily avoid a heart attack. You can't avoid, the person who did it could have avoided it. But kind of going along, too, with what Don was talking about, it's a spiritual matter. And if you material things don't satisfy that, some of the most controlling, misadjusted people I know have everything. They have material stuff, and they're unhappy because they're still not empowered. They have to flaunt their control over other people. They go into restaurants, and they order people around, and they're rude, and they're mean and insensitive, and they don't even notice it because they're so self-absorbed.
Well, you witnessed that firsthand in Los Angeles with self-indulged entertainment people.
Absolutely.
Always.
It's almost,
that's Los Angeles.
Go ahead. And it's almost the path to success. In fact, if you're a little too nice, it's like you're not respected. It's like you got to flaunt that power. And it's intoxicating in that circle of once you connect with people. The saying is nice guys finish last. And, the person who is rude and cuts in the front of the line and cuts corners and overpowers people, they usually do get what they want. The problem is when they get it, they're not a person that you would want to be. But I would say that he obviously had some kind of spiritual issues internally. He
vacancy.
Wasn't thinking of other people. He wasn't thinking
I
of turning
think,
the other
you know, when we're in the end times, and the Bible says that all kinds of crazy things will happen. Just when we get relief thinking that another person won't be killed by ISIS this week, then somebody decides to kill people voluntarily, just like that Luby's Diner in Texas or whatever. I think it was either in Lubbock, Texas.
You forgot the Philadelphia cousins who were ready to do...
I have a
caught.
Question.
What, Don? The Philadelphia cousins?
Right, those cousins who got caught, one with the Army uniform, who switched it with his other cousin. And they were
I didn't
going
hear
to...
about that because you know what? I've only had the news on like three times the whole week, and it was always about the crash.
I have a question, and that is, I think it's also kind of an issue, like with people who take guns and kill, you know, like mass shootings. Usually it's not the issue of the gun or the person, but a combination of mental illness and drug treatment. Now, it says he was in psychiatric treatment. I have a strong inclination that he would be on some kind of drug medication, because if you're on treatment, they're not just going to say, well, work on your, try to be more patient and hold your breath, you know, meditate. They're going to say, let's try Prozac, let's try, you know, lithium, let's try this, let's try that, let's try Zoloft. And once you start altering the mind, usually the people who act crazy and shoot stuff, you know, shoot people, kill people, do violent acts, it's the drug-altered mind along with their illness. So
did you know that?
Yes.
I work in a group home, and there's one client that doesn't take her meds. She skips maybe, let's say she has four doses a day, so that's 28 doses a week. She might take like four out of the 28, and she has a borderline personality. So whether you take the drug or don't take the drug, it's going to screw your body up.
True. That's incredible that people are taking drugs. That's not necessary. God put the necessary nutrients in our food chain, and the people are eating just too much. And that could be one of the reasons for his psychotic episodes. You know,
that the medical drugs can't, you know, like make your brain well. What it does is it basically makes you loopy.
It
disconnects your brain. So basically, I tell people, it's like, example, they'll say, well, I'm taking, you know, anti-stress medication. It's like, just relax. They go, I can't relax. I say, okay, if I hit you over the head with a baseball bat, you probably would relax, but you wouldn't be a rational thinker. You'd just be loopy and in a daze. I said, that's all you're doing is doping your brain, which is the only thing you have to reason with. So, I agree with Don. It's like, you know, maybe in treatment people seem temporarily better, but it's only because they're disconnecting their brain, not because they're disconnecting their brain.
Let's use Mike Tyson as an example. He had that troubled childhood. He raised pigeons. I don't remember if he was ever on medication, but I know that he went through some.
Mike Tyson. The fighter.
Oh, okay.
He slugged a few people in the past, but then he reformed himself. I mean, even if your brain's screwed up, it doesn't mean you have to. Okay, I'll put it this way. When I get really, I've lived in Duluth 3 years. And like 70% of my body was half against my will. Then I gambled like crazy the first year and a half. Then I quit. I had to cope with the bad winters, not gambling. And then I had to start, you know, recovering and healing my body. But if I got depressed, I would just go to the gym. Like, I wouldn't, like, run people over with my bicycle.
Right.
Well,
all
I mean,
I'm saying
that's you.
Is like, but when John was talking about that anger earlier in the show, that like when people get super mad, well, I'm not going to bring details, but there were two times this week where my anger boiled over an unresolved issue that John knows about. And plus I had to work graveyard 6 nights in a row, so besides texting John at bad times of the day where I might have woken him up, I really had nobody to turn to. I was thinking of calling this 800 line, but, you know, I rarely get into a situation where my anger boils over, and it did. And John taught me how to deal with it by just saying, you know, don't act on your emotion, just act in your Christian faith. And not everybody has that kind of support system. I could have called someone else from my GA group, and I could have done this or that, but some people really do feel alone, and apparently this 27-year-old felt alone.
Well, the hardest thing is also the easiest thing. Like, if you're carrying, most people carry a load. You know, they have a pressure. It's like a radiator. It starts to overheat. And I'm a kind of person that internalizes. So when I blow, it's very rare. But when I do, it's major because I've suppressed it. I haven't been, you know, releasing it. There's a lot of people that are in your face. They'll tell you in a second, you know, shut up or get the F out of here or whatever. And they're releasing their steam. I don't. So I internalize, maybe this guy was kind of an internalizer, and when we blow, it's really bad. But the point is, the easiest thing, if you have all this weight and stress and, you know, your arms hurt, your shoulders hurt, your back hurts, the easiest thing is put the weight down, let go of it. But people go, I can't let go of it. It's like, well, if you just open your arms and drop it, you'll find out you'll feel a lot better. And for me, Christianity is a channel and a way of focusing and saying, I forgive, I let go, God empowers me. Now, people have their other faiths and religions and methods, but the point is you have to have some method to do that, and if you don't, you're going to hold on to it. You could be one angry hombre, and that's what this guy was, apparently.
Well, we have a thing in
calm.
GA called...
He was pretty calm.
Go ahead, Don.
I was just going to say, he was pretty calm. According to all the records, he was very calm. He was breathing normally. He was not under stress. He knew exactly that those are all the black box records. That you know, this was just a guy who knew that he was going to Utopia. Now, what is in terms of what it means? It just means that we are going to have to bring our defenses, alert ourselves, and make sure that we're basically vigilant of everything that goes around us.
Okay, Don, I have a question, Don. When that guy was pounding on the door saying, let me back in, and I can, if it was me, I'd say, let me in, you stupid son of a bitch, let me in. Like, maybe he thought the guy locked the door inadequately or something, but just think of that power tripping moment where he could have saved 149 lives and he didn't. That's just devastating.
No, that's devastating to you. It's not devastating to a whole faction of the human race who agree with his decision. He made a decision according to what his beliefs were, whatever they were. And he took them to fruition. So he and his whomever cohorts or copycats, and you know, he had a lot of power. He's a co-pilot. They're trained to not overexude or overexceed their power. He knows better, and he did.
Well, you know what? I hope they're. It's just technology has destroyed us in many ways.
No,
it's a regression,
and you know that what John was saying earlier, you know that the gizmos and gadgets have, in my synopsis, it's desensitized us. Then there's nothing that we can do but to try to eat properly, and that was my example, and then also. Learn. We've got out here in Nevada. I've been in Reno, Nevada, and we've got concealed carry coming through for. You can carry weapons on pretty much anywhere. And
what is it called?
Other,
carry and conceal.
Concealed carry. And you can carry.
Well, you know, I don't
out in the open.
It
and
is
it,
one
and,
of the
and,
more
and,
regulated industries. I mean, just think, at least in America, since 9/11, we've had a very regulated airline industry.
But we don't need more weapons. We need less. And as I mentioned before in other segments, reading the Constitution, you are only supposed to have guns if you are a part of a state militia, but people don't read. So for the most part, this is something that is beyond our scope of talking, and we have to have a real realization of what, Indian land that has been treated and the treaties have been trampled over, how that majesty is the power that is controlling us all. And my issue is Common Core. I have a extreme disdain and I will be testifying Wednesday at our Nevada legislature as a co-introducer of AB 303, which is an opt-out plan that me and my group, Nevadans Against Common Core, have developed. And it's modeled after several other states that are opting out of Common Core, but it is going to be communism as we will know it.
You mean like, I think what you're really trying to say, communism's kind of broad. You're trying to say it's a narrow-minded education without much vision.
Well, anytime you make uniform, standardized curricula, you're starting a one-nation mass consciousness. And that's
okay. Well,
may
I say something, Don? I'm glad that you contributed a certain bent on this show, but I feel like you've been too lenient towards that pilot. I don't care what his goddamn vision was. He killed 150 people. I don't care if he has a Kurt Cobain utopia and he wants to go into Nirvana. Those were teenager kids plus babies and opera singers.
Pilot. You don't think that's never happened before? I don't want to go into 9/11 where there has never been hostage or hijacking of planes, five planes in one morning. That has to be an inside job. And, you know, there are other things that are happening that you may not believe, but, you know, the
by the way, John, I didn't mean to take the Lord's name in vain.
Oh, that's so
you did too. Yeah. I heard you say that, and I went, what? Okay. But,
that's okay.
Know.
It's lightning did not strike you, so apparently you've still got some grace. But I would say that to a certain point, Don is correct. He was taking, you know, for whatever reason, whatever injustices he felt were in the world, you know, he took the force that was against him, and he met it, and he matched it, and he upped it, you know, and he basically took it to whatever level he thought was justifiable. I think one thing Jesus talks about is that, you know, sin is within the heart of us, and he addressed that like, when I was talking about the different levels of, you know, of killer, Jesus said, hey, if it's in your heart, you've already committed it. So, you know, we kind of look back as level one killers, or maybe you're not, but I am. You know, I've imagined people, you know, taking them out just in anger for a thought, you know, a split second. And the point is, I walk away going, I'm a cool dude, and this other guy's a sicko. And Jesus is saying, hey, it's still in your heart. You're in the same boat as that person. They just went to the level of acting out. I think one thing as a world needs to realize is that with Islam, historically, whenever they need to empower themselves, they use violence and they kill. And this is from the leader itself, Muhammad. You know, he took his little army of guys and went into town and took things over. So that's just going to be a precedent that was started that's always been over the centuries. So we need to, as a world, address that. How are we going to respond to it?
Well, I'm and basically my gut line response is you know, I guess all of us are a little prejudiced, and I'm from Northern European descent, and when I see first world citizens, it doesn't, the whole world, we all have capabilities, whether we're from Bolivia or South Africa or Yemen. But the thing is that this did not have to happen. People's lives did not have to end. It could have been prevented. Maybe it was inevitable, as Don suggested. But the fact of the matter is that it was just a really bad thing that happened, and I was extremely stressed out about it being a parent. And I haven't internalized it, but I've just observed it, and it upset me.
That's understandable. It's upset a lot of people around the world, but it is the start. Who knows of Armageddon?
Right.
Who knows what you want to call it? But the Third World War, that is supposed to be the last one, I believe, in Revelations, starts in the Middle East. And this is a war that has been smoldering for a couple thousand years, but for
right.
the most part, it may be about, it was supposed to last about 2,000 years. So we're right on track to
okay,
whatever
well, what,
it
what
is.
Okay, well, what does that have to do with
next...
one white guy killing a bunch of people?
Well kind of, to his point, because, human nature hasn't changed, and it won't change.
Right.
We shouldn't be disappointed or shocked. It's like this is the behavior mechanism, and it's natural to how they respond. Someone pushes their button, and they're gonna arm their nukes and go full bore, and they're gonna be yelling Allah Akbar, you know, and just rejoicing in the moment.
It's Abu Akbar.
Right.
It's not gonna be like surprise. It's like no, this is a repeat of the same movie over and over.
Right.
So we have to realize how are we going to, as a world, and as an individual, how are we going to respond? Now, most of us don't know anyone that's really radical Islam. You know, we might see a person or two, but it's not like most of us live next to a temple or we live in Iraq or Iran or somewhere, or Saudi Arabia. So we're kind of sheltered from this, and this is why it's shocking. But in Europe,
I'm in a safe place, even though you can die of, like, slipping on ice. But, you know, like, I knew two people last winter who broke shoulders and slipping in parking lots. But the fact of the matter is, yes, I understand it in a global context, but I'm still not happy about it. And
no, that's exactly right.
Yeah, we have 4 minutes left.
Right
and,
now,
your opinion. Go ahead with your conclusions, both of you.
No, I just wanted to mention that there is a upswelling of hatred towards those who are in power. I've mentioned this before. And those who are in power have yet to realize it. And this German, in this particular conversation, he believed, you know, the Russians have a tremendous amount of Muslim population. You've got Muslims in Indonesia. You've got Muslims all over Europe, United States, they're in Canada. So that's something that we're going to have to start thinking about relations with them now. There are cities in America that have legislation for Sharia law in America, and so
Sharia law.
Yes, we're there. There are cities on the east in the East Coast. I believe that three or four of them that I think in New Jersey and Philadelphia area, and I believe Detroit area. They're in.
We got bigger problems than that. There's 30 Minneapolis people in the last 5 years have left to go fight jihadic wars. They were Somalian descent.
That's because they have a huge Muslim population in Somalia. That's what the Boko Haram.
I know.
So we're talking.
I'm just saying, Sharia
what I'm
law.
Saying is that
yeah.
The people in power need to wake up and be inclusive. Not tear down others who are maybe not like-minded.
Right.
The world needs help from those in power.
Well, we feel safe because of the oceans that separate us. But as Don was saying, there's over the last decade or two, there's been an influx of Muslims and Muslim radicals that are coming to this country. And Salve and other people that will, over the next decade or so, just start to assert themselves. I think one partial solution is it isn't just diffused from us or from, you know, a Christian or a Catholic or a Jewish perspective. A lot of the diffusing needs to come within the Islamic community, the clerics, the
right.
leaders, and so forth, because that's who they're listening to. That's who's preaching most of their indoctrination is coming from. Now, of course, the Christian would just say, well, you know, it's a Jesus matter. We got to pray and fight the devil. And I'm a Christian, and I partly believe that. But on the other hand, from a practical sense, we have to start talking and negotiating. And spiritually, scripturally,
the show is over, you guys.